most everybody knows you.
If it don't burn out, I better go home.
Right. We're glad to have Mr. Bert Hensley with us this morning. He's going to bring us a message and song. So y'all please keep him in your prayers.
If it don't, I'm going home now.
Brother Bert, that is a great song. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Amen?
Amen.
Great to know that Jesus has always got us on his mind. That is a great thing. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 4 today.
Amen.
Amen. It's great to know we got God's word to stand on, right?
Amen.
We're going to look at some scripture today. We're going to talk about the question, are you a follower of Jesus? We're going to look at nine traits that I believe a true follower of Jesus will portray and will exhibit in their life. And I want to encourage you to do a little something different today with your sermon notes. As we're going down these characteristics here, I want you to maybe make a little circle by the numbers of those that you feel like we may need to work a little bit harder on, so that you can specifically pray about those in the upcoming week, and maybe even you will feel led to come to the altar and start praying for that today. Because you know what? We all are going to be a little behind in some of these characteristics. We're not going to always be hitting on everything like we should. But guys, I really believe that that these are very important. If we're going to be true followers of Christ, I believe we should exhibit these characteristics. Really, we should exhibit them daily. We should really strive to try to let those show in our lives each and every day. I ask you that question, are you a follower of Jesus? Because you know, when that question is asked sometimes, I believe people will give a wide variety of answers. If you were to ask somebody that, they may think it's synonymous with just believing in God or attending church or participating in communion or giving to good causes, maybe even praying when in need, living a good life, or being religious. But guys, the honesty of that is that really none of these answers the question, nor do they prove that someone is following Jesus. Just because we do all of these things, that does not necessarily mean we're really following Jesus. We're doing some great things, and guys, engaging in certain religious activities is not necessarily following Jesus. That's what I want to help us understand today. Although these are generally practiced by believers, and they should be, not everyone who does them is a Christian, is a believer. And that's what I want to help us understand today. To determine if we are truly following Jesus, I really believe we must use some biblical guidelines. And we're going to look at a lot of those today in conjunction with our text for today. We're going to look at nine characteristics, nine traits that I believe will identify you as a true follower of Jesus. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to ask you, if you will, stand to your feet in honor of reading God's Word. We're going to read about three verses here, Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Father God, I just ask now, Lord, you add your blessings to the reading of your word. Lord, let nothing I say the next few minutes be about me. Empty myself of me, Lord. Let it be about you and to glorify you, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The first thing is this, guys. The first thing that I believe, absolutely, this has got to be the first true thing if you're going to be a true follower of Jesus. Guys, you have got to be born again. You got to be born again. You cannot follow Jesus until you know him as your Lord and Savior. You cannot do that. In John chapter 3, verse 3, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we've got to be born again. Now, you know, Jesus tried to explain this to some people along the way, and some of them kind of misinterpreted what he was saying. They thought literally, he's like, well, how can I go back into my mother's womb and be reborn again? He's like, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a spiritual rebirth here. You know, this is the first qualification we have to become a follower of Jesus. We've got to confess and repent of our sins and by faith receive God's forgiveness, surrender our lives to Christ as our Lord and Savior, and start walking in his ways. That is the first thing we've got to do. The book of 1 Corinthians tells us, in Christ we are new creatures. The old is gone, the new has come. How many of you are glad you're not the way you were before you got saved? Amen? Amen. I know I'm happy that I am the way I am today, because I've done some things in my life I'm not proud of, I'm not pleased with. But thank God, God's grace covers us yesterday, today, and forever, if we know him as our Savior. I told our young people this morning, I was like, you know what? Jesus has already forgiven you for that sin you're going to commit at the end of next week. That's hard to believe, isn't it? That we serve a God who gave us his Son to die for us and forgive us of our sins. When we call on his name and we accept him, we're covered. Now, that's not a free ticket to keep on sinning. For all those who know Jesus as their Lord and Savior are not going to want to continue to do that, right? So we've got to surrender our lives to him. Being a true Christian is not just becoming better or improving ourselves. It's an entirely new life born of the Spirit. It's a new life. It's a new life born of the Spirit when we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. The second thing is this, guys. If you're a true follower of Christ, there is going to be prayer evident in your life. If we follow Jesus, we're going to be a person of prayer just as He was. Luke chapter 6 verse 12 says, "It was at this time that He went off unto the mountain to pray, and He spent the whole night in prayer to God." Here's Jesus spending a whole entire night praying. Now, I doubt very many of us in here would sit up and pray for 8 or 10 or 12 hours straight, would we? But guys, think about it. How much do we really pray? How much of our day is spent in prayer and communication with God? If this is an area you're lacking in, put a little mark by that. Circle that number. Because I really want us to focus. What I want us to get out of this sermon today is, what do I need to improve on to be a true, dedicated follower of Christ? That's what I want us to understand here today. Guys, in fact, prayer is going to be a major part of our lives, not just an occasional plea for help when we're in need. Guys, if the only time we pray is when we're in need, when we need help, we're not communicating with God on a regular basis. God wants to hear from us, not just in the bad times. He wants to hear from us in the good times. He wants to hear us praise Him in the good and the bad. He wants to communicate with us. And guys, like I said the other week, sometimes we need to just be quiet and let Him communicate to us. We need to just be still and know that He is God. Because a lot of times we do what? We do all the talking. How many of you are good at talking? Oh, amen. I saw some hands go up quick. I ain't going to say whose hand went up the quickest. Amen. I'm not going to say. But hey, we're all good at talking, right? But guys, when it comes to listening sometimes, we have a hard time doing that sometimes, don't we? Because especially if we're having to listen to something that we don't necessarily agree with. But guys, I'm telling you, we've got to do that. We've got to pray. Guys, for prayer to become a priority, we've got to make it a daily habit to have a quiet time alone with God. You cannot effectively pray when you're constantly looking at your phone, when you're listening and looking at something on TV, when you have distractions going throughout your house. You cannot effectively pray. You may think you're praying, but you're not really praying. Because, guys, we've all done this before. We got our cell phone out. Thing buzzes. What are we going to do? First thing we're going to do, we're going to open our eyes, forget our prayer, and see who that was that texted us, right? Come on. Admit it. You've done it. But guys, listen. We got to give up some things long enough to really connect with the Lord. Long enough for us to have an effective prayer time. We got to have that quiet time. Guys, isn't it great to start and finish your day in prayer? Isn't that a great way to start and end your day? Man, I get up, first thing I do, God, thank you for letting me open my eyes again. Every now and then, I wake up and I see a bright light in the middle of the night. I come to find out it's Vicky's Kindle, but I think I've already headed to heaven. I'm already getting excited, and then I realize it's just her because she's over there reading. Amen. But hey, that bright light comes out. But you know what, guys? We got to start our day and end our day with prayer. I will promise you this. If you'll start your day thanking God for it, and you end your day thanking God for it, and you ask Him for a good night's rest, a lot of the time you're going to get that. But when we bring all of the headaches and heartaches of this world, and we crawl in bed with all that laying on top of us, and we hadn't talked to God about it all day, you're probably going to have one of the most restless night's sleep you've ever had. We got to lay it at His feet, guys. How do we do that? We pray. The third thing is this. We got to be willing to listen. We got to be willing to listen. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, it says, "While He was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, 'This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him.'" You see, God was instructing them, hey, you need to listen to My Son here because He's got words of wisdom that He wants to impart on you. We got to listen to what it is God's trying to say. Too often, many of us begin the morning with thoughts of everything we need to accomplish that day. We're not willing to sit down and let God speak to us right off the bat. We're too busy thinking about what we got to get done that day. And guys, although fulfilling those responsibilities, that is a very much an important part of your life. But guys, it's more important to spend time listening to the Father, asking Him to guide us into His plan, as well as for that day ahead. And God says, sovereign Lord and Master, not only of the universe, but of our individual lives, God requires our submission and our obedience to His will. He requires our submission and His obedience to His will. That's why we got to take time to listen to Him as we read His Word and pray. How many of you have ever been reading Scripture and you can just hear God speaking to you through that Scripture? Anybody ever done that? If you've done that, say amen. Guys, when I read Scripture and God is really talking to me, I hear His voice through the Scripture. I hear Him speaking to me. I hear Him clarifying what it is He wants me to take from that Scripture. That's why we got to be still and we got to know that He's God sometimes. Yeah, He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to cast our cares on Him. He wants us to tell Him about what's going on in our life. But guys, guess what? He already knows what we need. He already knows what our problems are. Yeah, He wants us to communicate those to us, but He also wants us to listen so He can tell us things that we need to know, things that are going to benefit us. The fourth thing is this, guys. We got to believe. We got to have belief. Look at this scripture right here, John 3:16. Everybody knows it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. We got to believe, first of all, that Jesus was sent to this earth to die for our sins. We got to believe. Just as we trusted Christ for salvation, we got to continue to live by faith as we follow Him. Guys, if we don't believe Him, we will live self-centered lives. If we don't believe Him, we're going to live a self-centered life. And we're not going to do what He says or walk in His ways. We're not going to do that. But guys, as genuine followers of Christ, we're going to trust Him with our difficulties. We're going to trust Him with our pain. We're going to trust Him with our temptations, with our needs. We're going to rely on Him to enable us to do whatever He says. Guys, we got to believe. Let me tell you something. If you don't believe that Jesus is who He is, then you're not going to need God's Word. It's not going to mean anything to you. But if you believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God and that His Word here was God-inspired and God-breathed to the prophets and to the disciples to write this down, then it's going to be beneficial to you. But you got to get in there and you got to read it. You got to believe what God's Word says. You got to believe what God has told us through His Word. The fifth thing is this: obedience. Guys, we obey a lot of things in life, don't we? Well, most of us do. Most of us obey most laws of the land. We obey our parents, children, most of the time. We obey things. But when it comes to Jesus, sometimes we have a hard time remaining in obedience to Him. Look at what this scripture says, John 8:12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walketh in darkness, but will have the light of life. We'll have the light of life. Guys, we got to be obedient. Following requires obedience. You cannot follow Jesus and not be obedient to Him and to His call. When this is the desire of our hearts, we're going to recognize how foolish it is to go in our own way. How many of you have tried doing things your own way so many times and you've fallen flat on your face every time you try to do it your way until you turn it over and let God have His way in your life? You ever done that before? I've done that. I thought I had everything figured out and filled out and covered and all the bases covered. No. If I leave God out of the equation's wrong. It's not going to work out right. We're going to have difficulties. We're going to have problems. When this is the desire of our hearts, we recognize how foolish that is. Guys, sin always leads to loss and the death of something. It leads to loss and the death of something, whether it's opportunities or blessings. Something is going to be lost when we're not obedient. We're going to lose something. We have got to learn to be obedient to Christ's call in our life. We got to wake up and we got to do that. It's always good to obey Him because He's the source of every good thing. And let me tell you this, guys. Let me back up a sentence here. I skipped one. This is the most important one. I'm going to tell you something. If you get disobedient to God and His calling in your life, I have experienced this firsthand. If we refuse to obey Him, He will send enough heartache and troubles our way that He will correct you. Listen to what I'm telling you. You will experience heartaches and troubles if you're out of fellowship with God and you're not living your life in obedience to Him. He will discipline those He loves. How many of us as parents don't discipline our kids? You just let them do whatever they want to do. Well, that tells me you don't love them. And that tells God, if we're not going to be obedient to His call in our life, that we don't really love Him. If we're not going to do what He's asking us to do, we don't really love Him. Parents, why do you discipline your children? Because you love them. Not because that's in the parent handbook. It's because you love them and you want them to do the right thing, right? You want them to grow up and be godly young men and women. So you discipline them. All of that is part of obedience. Guys, if you aren't obedient to Christ, He will discipline you if you're truly His child. He will bring you back into a right relationship with Him. Number six. Probably one of the most important ones is love. Love. Mark 12:30 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." In other words, you should love God with everything you got. If there's anything less than true love for our Lord and Savior, that's not enough. You got to give Him all. You've got to love Him with your whole heart. Guys, we can't follow Christ with a divided heart, half in the world and half with God. We can't do that. You know what the Bible says? If we're friends with the world, we're enemies with God. Now that sounds harsh, doesn't it? But what He's saying here in the Scripture is, you can't love the things of this world and say you love God. Because this world is controlled by who? Satan, the devil. He's in charge of what's going on here on this earth. God is reigning from above. You might say, well, preacher, why does He let the devil get away with this? That's the way it was intended to be. Satan is out trying to defeat everything God is trying to put in place. And guess what? Sometimes the devil's winning. In fact, a lot of times he's winning. Why? Because we're not being obedient. We're not loving enough. Guys, we can't let impure thoughts and images and words come into our minds and claim to love Jesus at the same time. That just doesn't work. That doesn't work. The Bible says, if you're truly born again in the book of 1 John, you are not going to continue to sin. It's not going to be a part of you. I didn't say you wouldn't sin. You're just not going to deliberately keep on doing it. If you're truly born again. Wholehearted love for Christ affects what we think and watch and do and where we go. If you really love Jesus, you're going to watch what you say. You're going to watch what you think about. And you're going to watch where you go. Because if you're a true follower of Christ, you want to be headed toward where? The cross. Amen. That's where you want to be headed to. Not somewhere out here in this world. The seventh thing is this. Sharing. Sharing. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Share my gospel with them. This is Jesus' command. And guys, if we're going to follow Him, we're going to share the truth of God's word. We're going to share it with others, regardless of whether or not they like us. Guys, if the only people you share the love of Christ with are those people who really like you, then you're allowing a lot of people to not hear about the love of Jesus. Because there are a whole lot more people that probably don't like you that well that really need to hear about Jesus, don't they? But we can't just focus on the ones that like us and that want to hang around with us and that sort of thing. We got to share this love. Guys, in a world of hatred and bitterness and animosity and death, Christ's followers are risking their very lives to bring the gospel into the world. There are people right now who are risking their lives all around this world serving God. They don't have it like we have it over here. Some of them are in countries where the gospel of Christ is not accepted. It's not welcomed in like it is here in America. They're risking their very lives to share the gospel. Each of us can surely say something to spark the interest of somebody we know who's not following Jesus. There's somebody we can spark some interest into. But guys, I'm telling you this, if we're not living for Jesus, if we're not following Him and doing our part, they're not going to care what we try to spark into them, are they? When they look at us and they see them, we've not accomplished anything, have we? Let's look at number 8. That is service. Service. Let me read from John chapter 12, verse 26. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Guys, we're to live a life of service. Jesus came as a servant. He came as a servant. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And that's what we're all called to do. And as his followers, that's what we should be doing as well. Guys, we all have the capacity to serve the Lord in some fashion by serving others. We all have that capacity. Service comes in many different forms. You say, well, preacher, how do I know I'm serving? Well, let's look at some examples here. Helping, caring, encouraging, comforting, giving, teaching, sharing God's word. These are all examples of service. So I believe that everybody in here is doing some of those things already. So you see, you are serving. We just need to keep doing it. We need to continue on down that path. And last but not least is number 9. We need to be willing to suffer for Jesus. You say, well, preacher, I don't want to. I love Jesus, but I don't know if I can suffer for him. Well, then you don't really love him. If you really love him, you'll suffer on his behalf. Now, I'm not saying here in America, we don't go through a lot of physical suffering for Jesus. We don't get beaten up and killed and thrown into prison. But we do suffer along the way. Guys, if we're following him, we can expect to experience some form of suffering. It's going to happen. Now, we may be rejected. We may suffer financial loss or even lose relationships because we make people feel uncomfortable and don't fit in with those who love the world. This should not stop us from following Jesus. We're going to have situations like that. That's how we suffer for Jesus in this day and age here in America. People turn their back on us. People laugh at us. People make fun of us. People go the other way when we start walking up to them. People don't invite us to places. Guys, that's okay. That's okay. Because you know what? That lets you know you're doing the right thing. Now, we're not to be ugly to them. And we're not to be prideful and boastful, I'm better than you are kind of thing. But we should not be ashamed if we suffer for Christ. That's part of letting people know that you're a true follower of His. You know what? Sometimes we're going to be tempted in this life to pick and choose some of these qualities that we want to pursue. But guys, all of these practices are essential components to our walk with Christ. All of them are. And they should become an important part of our lives as we follow Him each day. I believe, guys, that some of us are doing a lot of this list of 9, but I believe some of us need to work on some of them, myself included. When I got this sermon ready, I'm like, Lord, I need to work in this area. God, I need to work here a little bit more. I need to be a little bit more concerned here. So I hope you kind of made a little checklist of things that you need to work on. As far as being a follower of Christ, I want to encourage you. Maybe you need to come up here and pray when we open the altar up and say, God, I need to work more in this area. Help me. Or I need to work more in that area. Or you just need to pray for somebody or something. Are you a follower of Christ, guys? I want to ask you that question because if you find any of these characteristics difficult for you to accept and practice, then you need to go to God in prayer and ask Him to help reveal how He can bring that to life in your life. Because these are all things that believers should be doing willingly on a daily basis. The question is, are you willing to follow Him? Father God, I thank You, Lord, for this day. I thank You for Your word. Lord, I thank You for these things that we can look at. And God, I believe everybody in here, I believe their heart wants to follow You. I really do. I believe sometimes, though, we get caught up in things. It may be the world. It may be our schedule. It may be our family. But Lord, help us to take time to realize that if we're going to be truly effective in our service for You, that we've got to let these characteristics show. We've got to have them in our life. We've got to live by them. And God, I just pray You'll touch each and every person's heart here today and help us to think about what we need to do. And Lord, we're going to give You the praise for all of it, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. What are we singing, Becky?
Hymn 626.
We'll stand and sing hymn 626. Let's stand and sing hymn number 626.